There was a young man that had fallen in love with a beautiful daughter of a farmer. He went to the farmer to ask him for his daughter's hand in marriage. The farmer looked him over up and down. He said, "Son, I tell you what." He said, "Go out and stand in the field out there." And he said, "I'm going to release three bulls one at a time. And if you can catch or grab the tail of one of those bulls that I released, said, you can marry my daughter." Young man thought, well, all right, that shouldn't be too hard. So he goes out and stands in the field. And the farmer lets the first bull out of the chute. Well, this was the meanest, biggest, baddest bull that he had ever seen. And he thinks, you know, the next one couldn't be any worse. So he runs to the side of the fence and lets the bull run by. He goes back out in the center of the field again. And the second bull, he can't believe it. It's even meaner. I mean, it's pawing the ground and snorting and salivating and slinging slobber and everything and comes tearing at him. And he goes, there's no way this third bull can be any worse than this guy. So he runs to the side of the fence and he waits for the farmer to release the third bull. Well, the chute opens, and sure enough, out comes the third bull, and it is the scrawniest, tiniest, pitiful-looking little bull you have ever seen, and it's just hardly moving, just ambling down the pasture, and the young man thinks, ah, this is my bull, and he perches, and just as that little bull comes walking by him, he leaps to grab, and guess what? The bull didn't have a tail. Well, you know, life is kind of like that, isn't it? It's full of opportunities. And some will be easy to take advantage of, and some will be more difficult. But here's the thing. If we keep waiting for the perfect opportunity, and we let the ones pass by that seem too difficult or too hard for us, and wait for a better opportunity, then it may be too late. There may not be a better opportunity. This morning I want to talk to you about making the most of your opportunities. And if you're still there, turn back to the text that Cale read in Ephesians, the fifth chapter. And if you got your emails, he said this is the passage of the day. Actually, I took liberty with this, Cale. I said the verse of the day. In reality, I guess it's three verses. But they fit together, and you need all three of these. And this is what we're going to look at this morning. Let me join with Steve in welcoming each one this morning. We do have several guests in our number. We're glad to have you with us. We have some that are visiting locally, and we're glad that you've come to be in our number. And we actually have some from God's country, better known as Fort Scott. And I was down there last year before we moved here, and that is a wonderful, wonderful part of the country. If you like Kansas, that is, but if we like Kansas, we're close by. So it's good to have those folks as well as the rest of you that are here with us this morning. We hope you'll be back next Sunday as being your friend today. And we want a lot of guests, and we're going to talk about a lesson that I'm calling Beyond the Stained Glass Window. Yes, Joanne, the blue stained glass has almost become iconic and known to Hickman Mills. And I thought as I was saying what I want to talk about that Sunday, how many people drive up and down the highway by in the neighborhood and they see the stained glass window, never come inside. What's inside? What are we all about? What is the Hickman Mills Church? Who are we? What do we stand for? What do we believe? And so that's what we're going to talk about next Sunday morning. And we hope that you'll be here and that you'll bring a lot of guests. And then following that, some of the ladies are going to be fixing tons of food. I mean, just more than you've ever seen in your life at a potluck. Right, Janice? I mean, just food upon food upon food. And we're going to go to a park and we're going to eat and have a good time. So bring your guests and we'll get to know them that way, and that'd be good. And then tonight, don't forget tonight. Tonight is Kids Up Front. And so parents, be here at 5 o'clock and bring your kids. And Nathan and Ian are going to have some things prepared, some songs and some stories and some things out of the Bible. And then, Nathan, I hear there's going to be a special guest. that's going to show up as a prelude to VBS. So don't miss out on that, and it'll be a good evening. And then following that, we'll spend some time just in congregational singing together. Well, let's look at our text this morning and think about what it means here when Paul says to make the most of your opportunities. See that you make the most of your opportunities. Well, the first thing that he says here about that in verse 15 is to be careful how you live. Now, by the way, I know we're old school. The lightning or something has knocked out our PowerPoint. And so we're using songbooks and actually Bibles. No verses on the PowerPoint. And no cheat sheets here. So you got to listen carefully to fill in your sermon blanks. So the first major point is to be careful how you live. And as I think about that, he says there, be careful how you live. And it's good to be careful, isn't it? It's good to be careful in life. And sometimes we tell our kids, if they get a little rambunctious, we say, be careful. Be careful. Well, you know, it's good for us as adults, as we live our lives, to be careful. And I got four things, and I think they relate to opportunities. Because in this text, he talks about making the most of your opportunities, and he begins by saying, be careful how you live. And so there's four things that I want us to think about that, and that's this, that you will miss out on a lot of good opportunities if you live recklessly. A lot of people live a reckless life. They live life with abandon. They don't really care. The wise man said in Proverbs chapter 14, verse 16, that a wise man fears the Lord and he shuns evil, but a fool is hot-headed and reckless. You ever know anybody like that? There was a fool that was hot-headed? I mean, they would get in a fight at the drop of a hat. I mean, there are people that will pull a gun on you at the drop of a hat. There are people that are ready to go at it. They are hot-headed and they are reckless in the way they live their lives. Now, I doubt that there's many people here that are that reckless. But you know, you can be reckless in the way that you approach life and reckless with spiritual matters and reckless and you're dealing with your values and your spiritual principles. So don't live a reckless life, because if you do, you're going to miss out on good opportunities because of that. Well, the second thing is you will miss out on opportunities if you live life selfishly. A selfish person is going to miss out on opportunities to do good. In Galatians chapter 5 and verse 20, is listed there the works of the flesh. And I'm not going to take the time to read it. I think I had it on my slide. But in that text, he lists all these bad things. I mean, as I see Clint and turn to it, it's okay to turn to it. And if you just peruse that, you're going to, Galatians 5:20 was the verse, you're going to see things that are like drunkenness and fornication and adultery, and I think murders may be listed in that text. I mean, there are a lot of bad things. But you know, one of the things that's listed in the works of the flesh is selfish ambition. We don't think of that so much, do we? We think of those other things as being their works of the flesh. They're bad things. Don't do those things. And yet in the midst of that, he talks about selfish ambition. You're going to miss out on a lot of good opportunities if you live life selfishly. If you live it all about yourself. If you're thinking of yourself and you're not thinking of other people, if you're self-absorbed and self-centered, you're not going to be focused on serving others. Number three, you will miss out on a lot of good opportunities if you live life fearfully. Fearfully. A lot of people live their lives in fear. Fear will paralyze you from acting. And you know, I know there's some things that we need to have a healthy fear about. But a lot of people, I've talked to people sometimes about doing things, and they're afraid to make a mistake. They're afraid to do this. They're afraid to talk to someone, maybe about Jesus, because they might say the wrong thing. Or afraid to make a visit because they might say or do something wrong. Or all these different kind of things that people get afraid of, that they're not going to do it just quite right. I'm afraid I'm not good enough. and on we go with all those kind of fears. And if you live life fearfully, you're going to miss out on a lot of good opportunities. Now, the classic text about that is in Matthew chapter 25, and it's the parable of the talents. You remember that parable? And in the story that Jesus tells, the master had these three servants. And by the way, boys, a talent, and girls, a talent at that day and time was an amount of money. That's what, it could be a gold talent or a silver talent. And our money, it would have been thousands of dollars. And so he gave them these talents according to their ability. In other words, according to their financial ability to make money. You know, some people are good at making money. Some people are better at spending money. And if you get married, one of you ought to be good at making money, okay? And there's usually one in the family who's good at spending money. But anyway, you ought to be good at making money. So, just a little thought there for you, okay? So these three guys were given these talents according to their ability. One was given one talent, and another two talents, and another five talents. And he sent them on their way. And then the master came back to see how they had done. And the fellow was given five talents. Would you think he was pretty good at making money? Yeah. Because he's given the most. And sure enough, he was. He doubled. He put it in the stock market in Jerusalem. He had gone to the Jerusalem stock market there, you know, and he invested. I don't know. But he invested this money. He doubled it. He had 10. And the guy that had 2, he was pretty good. He wasn't as sharp as the five-talent guy, but he was pretty good. He doubled his, and he had 4. And the guy that had the one talent, and there was a reason why the master gave that guy one talent. You know why? He wasn't so sure this guy was good at making money. But he gave him one talent and let him see what he could do with it. You know what he did with it in the story Jesus told, Matthew 25? It says that he dug a hole in the ground and he hid it. And when the master came back to take a financial accounting of these guys, and the first two come and they're glad what they've done, the third guy comes and he dug it up and he brought it and he said, "Here's what you gave me." He said, "Because I know you're a hard man, that everything you touch turns to gold," as we'd say it in our vernacular today. And he said, "I hid it, and here it is." And you know what Jesus said to that guy? Or the master in the parable said to him? He said, "Oh, you poor little thing, you, bless your heart. I knew you didn't have much talent. That's why I only gave you one. And that's okay. I was afraid you would waste it and lose it. So the fact that you gave..." No, he didn't say that, did he? You remember what he called him? Yeah, he called him a wicked and a slothful. That means lazy. Oh, excuse me. Servant. You think about that. Now, I have a feeling the wicked and slothful servant wasn't laughing at that. Why was he wicked and slothful? Because he didn't have much ability? He wasn't as good as the other two? No, because he didn't make the most of his opportunity. But here's what the guy said. This is the key of Matthew 25:25. He did this because he said, "I was afraid. I was afraid." Fear, ladies and gentlemen, will paralyze you. You're going to miss out on a lot of good opportunities if you're afraid. Don't be afraid. You say, "I'm not a five-talent person. I'm not a two-talent person." That's okay. Take the one talent that you have and use it, and don't be afraid or you're going to miss out. And then number 4, you will miss out on a lot of good opportunities if you live life aimlessly. Aimlessly. You know, some people are just, they're here and there. And they're up and down. And they're in and out. And they're just kind of, you know, you don't know where they are. They don't know where they are. They're just floating around. Aimless. Like the water. Like the wind. You know, Apostle Paul said in Philippians 3, he said, "I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." That didn't sound like aimless to me. That sounds like focused. That sounds like goal-oriented. That sounds like a laser-like approach to what you're trying to accomplish. I press toward the mark. God does not want us to be tossed about aimlessly, but to live life purposely. Now, isn't that what this year is all about here at Hickman? Restoring our focus? Don't be aimless. Don't just kind of, que sarah, sarah, whatever will be, will be. And if it happens, it happens. You won't get anywhere that way. You won't get anywhere in life that way. You won't get anywhere spiritually that way. You'll miss out on a lot of good opportunities if you don't live life carefully. The second major point from this text is this. He said, therefore, walk in wisdom. Walk in wisdom. Now, being smart is not the same as being wise. You know, a person can go to the University of Missouri and get a PhD. Then go to the University of Kansas. Can you get a PhD in Kansas? Just kidding. So see if you're listening. Okay. You go to the University of Kansas, get a PhD. And be smart. Have a lot of book knowledge, but not be very wise. I've seen some really smart people, not very wise. You know, there's two kinds of wisdom. There is a worldly wisdom, and there is a spiritual wisdom. And in James chapter 3, and I'm not going to take time to read this, but you can read it later, James 3, 13 down through the end of the chapter, he talks about those two kinds of wisdom. And the wisdom that is of this world, he said, is earthly and sensual and devilish. It is a materialistic, worldly kind of a wisdom. But he said there is a wisdom that is from above. The wisdom that comes from God. And so the wisdom of the world, and you're wanting to fill in those blanks, I can tell. The wisdom of the world is earthly, and the wisdom that is from that is spiritual is based on the will of God. And so one wisdom is earthly, materialistic. The other is based on the will of God. How do you suppose you find out the wisdom based on the will of God? Take a wild guess. You got to get into the will of God. You got to read the will of God. Now, I hear people saying this. I had an old high school classmate send out an email to a bunch of us yesterday that was wanting to know about this book, Conversations with God. Have any of you seen that book, Conversations with God? Let me see your hand if you have. No, but you have, okay? It's a really good book, right? Not so much. You haven't read it yet, have you? Okay. I'll tell you what, you're going to be shocked when you read it. Because this guy claims that God was like speaking over his shoulder and telling him all these things. And about half, if not three-fourths of stuff in the book is exactly contrary to what the Bible says. It's incredible. I mean, like these questions like teenagers have about one teenage girl said, you know, the people tell us wrong to live with a boyfriend. And God's answer said, who told you that? I didn't say that. It's stuff like that. It's in a book. Or I got feelings for someone of the same sex and everybody says it's wrong. God said, I never said that was wrong. And a book is full of stuff like that. And God spoke to him. Well, my Bible didn't read that way. Or I sometimes hear people talk about, well, God led me to this. Or I have a feeling that God's speaking to me about this. Really? Ooh. You know, the only way I know God speaks is through His Word. That's the only way I know. I mean, I can go out into the woods and get real quiet. Or go out on a moonlit night and look up at a big old moon like we've had the last couple nights. Or go out on the beach and look at the sunset over the ocean. And it gets real quiet. And I hear the breakers coming in. Or if you're in the woods, you might hear some little crackling of the leaves. Or if you're looking up at the moon, you might hear, woo, woo. I've never heard the voice of God unless I had my Bible with me. Ladies and gentlemen, young people and old people, I want to tell you something. This notion today that God is just speaking to people and all these kind of mystical, wild, unusual ways is false. Not so. The only way I can know the will of God is to get into the will of God. Read the will of God because it's been given to me by inspiration. So I gain wisdom three ways. Spending time with God, listening to His word. Praying to God. And being around people of God. That'll help me. Because godly people are going to give me good advice. And I'm going to draw close to God, and I'm going to gain wisdom. If you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, James 1 says, that he gives to all men liberally and upbraideth not. It takes wisdom to make the most of every opportunity. Now, the third major point in this text is this. Realize the days are evil. Oh, when I was a kid growing up, those were the good old days, Clinton. Oh, evil days back in the 1950s and 60s. Well, you know, sometimes we get to thinking that the era we grew up in, now, I'm a little partial to that. I think it was better than today. But you know what? There's always been evil days. Even in the 1950s and 1960s. There were evil days in the first century. There were evil days in the Old Testament. I tell you what has changed, though, from the time that I was a kid. The information age has changed things. A lot of the evil that we hear more about today and is so pervasive today, it's always been there to some degree. We just know about it quicker. Because of the internet and your smartphones and 24-hour cable news and all that kind of stuff. And devices that make life easier sometimes also provide the avenue of temptation. We need to recognize the days are evil. And so therefore we have to adjust in terms of understanding the times we live in. Now the Bible hasn't changed and God's will hasn't changed, but issues have changed. Problems are different. People haven't changed. People still need the gospel. But the means and the methods that we use in bringing a change, I can remember as a little kid going with my parents down into a little country church in Kentucky. And here in Woodrow Haslip, have you ever heard that name? Maybe Dick has, I don't know. But he was an old-time preacher back in the long-ago era, preached in Kentucky. I don't know if he ever made it in Missouri or not. But Harold and Woodrow and his five Haslip brothers. And I remember going to a little country church, had a potbelly stove in the center, hardwood pews and wood floors, just one room church building. And he preached, I remember one night we were there in a meeting, and I was just a kid, and he preached on heaven and hell. Whew. Man, it was a powerful lesson. And you know what he used to illustrate it? He had a bed sheet chart. Bob, you remember bedsheet charts or not? You remember them? Okay. Bob's an old-timer. He remembers that stuff. Yeah. You say, Ken, you must be an old-timer. Well, I guess I am now. But I remember it as a little kid. It was a novel to me because where I grew up in Indiana, we had a blackboard. And then pretty soon we had a whiteboard. We had a green board and then a whiteboard. Blackboard, green board, whiteboard. And then John Clark came to where I was preaching, and we had overhead projectors. And John had a stack of overheads about like that, and he was whipping those things all over the place. Well, that's outdated. Now we got PowerPoint if lightning didn't knock it out. And so methods change, technology changes, the conduit by which we may take the gospel to people may be different, but it's still the same gospel. And so we adjust with the times, and we adjust with the issue. I'll tell you what, when I was a kid growing up, you didn't have to preach against homosexuality. It hardly ever preached on, because everybody knew it was wrong. People in the world knew it was wrong. They don't know that anymore. The Supreme Court this week may come to the verdict on this about the Marriage Act. I'm not feeling real good about what they're going to come to the conclusion on. I hope it's a good conclusion. But if it's not a good conclusion, guess what? That didn't change the Word of God. It's still the same. Times have changed in our culture and society and technology. And so therefore, we must realize the days are evil. Well, that brings me to the fourth and final major point here. So we need to make the most of every opportunity. So what do we do to make the most of every opportunity? Number one, we need to seek opportunity. Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, seek and you will find. We sometimes sing the song, seeking the lost. What is it that we are seeking? Are we seeking opportunity? What are you seeking in life? Are you seeking ease, wealth, prestige, acceptance, the good life? Or are you seeking opportunity? A verse that we talked about earlier, Galatians 6:10, as we therefore have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those that belong to the family of believers. As we have opportunity, but we must be willing to seek opportunity if we're going to have opportunity. We must be desirous of opportunity. Are you seeking opportunities? Secondly, to make the most of our opportunity, we not only need to seek it, we need to see it. The psalmist said, open my eyes that I may see wondrous things out of your law. Well, we need to open our eyes. J. Oswald Sander in his book, Spiritual Leadership, said, eyes that look are common and eyes that see are rare. We need to open our eyes to the opportunities that are around us. For instance, we got a couple opportunities right now. We got Bring Your Neighbor Day next Sunday. That's an opportunity next Sunday. It's a built-in opportunity. There's flyers. There's a special topic. There's a way it gives you an opportunity to say something to a friend or neighbor. And so you need to seek that opportunity. And then as you see people, you need to see an opportunity to invite those people. And then we got Vacation Bible School coming up. I'm really glad that we've got this Bring Your Neighbor Day and then in a couple weeks VBS. Have you thought about how those two may dovetail nicely together? And that maybe young families that we may invite to come next Sunday, now it's even a greater opportunity for them to feel comfortable to bring their children to VBS. And so let's tie those together. And let's use VBS as an evangelistic opportunity. What do you see when you see a moving van in your neighborhood? There's been a house for sale, now it says sold, and there's a moving van. You go, huh, wonder who's moving in there. Oh, look, they're from Kansas. Or Kentucky. Or Florida. Or do you see, say, oh, there's an opportunity to meet a new neighbor, to get to know someone, to befriend someone, to help someone, to invite them to church? What do you see? Or when you come in here and you see people you don't know, what do you see? Or some people just see their friends and they see the pew they always sit on because they're not seeking opportunity. But if you're seeking opportunity, you're looking around. Who's here today I don't know? Who's a guest? Who's someone I can talk to? And so you see an opportunity to put out your hand and introduce yourself and welcome someone and invite them to come back to find out if they have a need. What do we see in our church family when there are people that are sick or suffering or hurting? Or maybe what do we see when the spot they normally sit is vacant? Do we see an opportunity to call them, to contact them, to see if everything is okay? We need to be able to see opportunity. There are monetary opportunities that we need to see. I may have done this here before, I don't know, but it wouldn't hurt to do it again. You know, a lot of times we say monetary opportunities. You know, there are people that think, oh, I don't have a lot of money. You know, before you come back tonight, could you spend $100? Yeah. You really easily. Two bags of groceries. Just about, right? Something you need at Walmart, whatever. You know what $100 will do? It'll buy deworming tablets for 100 children in the Philippines. $100 will buy oral polio vaccine for 150 children in Chad. It will provide a grant for a landmine victim in Cambodia to purchase fishing nets and a boat to feed their family. $100 will pay the tuition and books for 1 year of school for 2 children in Kenya. $100 will buy and distribute 25 Bibles in remote parts of the world. $100 will restore sight to 3 blind people in India with a cataract operation. It will provide mosquito netting for 35 people in Bangladesh to prevent the spread of malaria. It will provide and help 30 deaf children in Gambia by purchasing carpentry tools for a vocational workshop. And $100 will supply textbooks for an entire elementary school in Zambia. Isn't that incredible? We need to seek opportunity. We need to see opportunity. And then guess what? Number 3, we need to seize opportunity. It's not enough to seek it. It's not enough to see it. We must seize it. Peter, I like what Jonathan Winters, the comedian of Days Gone By, once said. He said, I couldn't wait for success. I just went on without it. That's pretty good. You got to seize it. And how often have we had an opportunity and it just slips through our fingers? We fail to act. We fail to speak up. We fail to do the thing we need to do. Colossians 4:5 tells us that we need to seize the opportunity to be able to say the right words to the person at the right time. Robin Williams made famous that expression, carpe diem, to seize the day. We need to seize the day because opportunity knocks. Opportunity is there. If we're seeking it, if we will see it, and then if we will seize it, there are many wonderful things that we can do to make a difference in this world and to make a difference in our church family. Well, if you have your hymn books, turn to the number suggested. We close our service this morning with a song of invitation and encouragement. And we invite you, if you have a need, to come so we can help you and minister to you. It may be that you're a Christian that has become unfaithful and you need to be restored to fellowship with the Lord and His people. We would invite you to come so that we can pray with you and for you and lift you before the throne of God and that God might forgive you and restore you. It might be that you're not a Christian. And through other lessons and studies, you've heard the gospel preached. And through faith and repentance and baptism, you will be born again into the family of God and become a child of God. This is an opportunity to invite you. There's one more opportunity. And that may be an opportunity that is actually for the majority in the room. And it would be the opportunity to apply this lesson this morning. To seek opportunity. To see opportunity, to seize opportunity, to be ministry-minded, to be involved. Whether you got 5 talents or 1 talent, to do whatever it is that you can do to make a difference in this world and in the world to come. If we can help you, though, we invite you to come as we stand and sing.
Hark, the gentle voice of Jesus falleth tenderly upon your ear. Sweet His cry of love and pity calleth, turn and listen, stay and hear. Ye that labor upon your dear Lord's breast, ye that labor and are heavy laden, come and I will give you rest. Take His yoke, for He is meek and lowly, bear His burden to Him turn. He who calleth is the Master holy. He will teach if you will learn. Ye that labor. upon your dear Lord's breast. Ye that labor and are heavy laden, come and I will give you rest. Then his loving tender voice obeying, bear his yoke, his burden take. Find the yoke his hand is on you laying, light and easy for his sake. Ye that labor and are heavy laden, lean upon your dear Lord's breast. Ye that labor and are heavy laden, come and I will give you rest. Remain standing, please.
Would you remain standing after the closing prayer for an announcement by William Godwin? Would you bow with me now, please? Lord, we're so thankful to be here today. We hope we take to heart the lesson by Ken for the opportunities you give us. Even though some of us don't have as many talents, may we take advantage of the ones we have. We ask you to be with the sick that could not be here. We don't know how blessed we are to have health and be able to be with you today. We ask you to be with our country, some of the problems we're having now. We ask our leaders to lead us in the moral and upright way. Be with our servicemen abroad. Again, keep us safe until we meet again. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Good morning. Hey, I just wanted to follow up on the announcement made this morning about VBS and appreciate Steve calling out these things. A couple other points of clarification. As Ken talked about opportunities this morning, you have an opportunity today to help the VBS team be ahead of the game and to plan effectively and make sure that we use our resources wisely for VBS. So I would ask that if you know of a child today that's age 4 through 6th grade that's going to be attending, that you fill this out today. If you are a middle school, a high school student, or a college age student that wants to help, I'm going to ask that you fill this out today, please. And then if you're an adult that will be bringing a child to VBS, we'd like you to fill this out as well. There'll be a couple of different things about VBS this year, and you'll need to tell us if you're going to stay and participate in the activities or you'll be dropping off a child and leaving. And so the last thing I'm going to ask you to do is pretend like today is April the 15th. Everybody knows what happens on April 15th, right? Taxes have to be in the mail that day. What I need you to do is fill this out and drop this in the box in the back today. I'll be standing back there with some orange flyers if you need one. If you have a bulletin, the form is in the bulletin as well. So we would appreciate your support in helping us be ahead of the game and fill this out today. Thank you very much.